Also in the bulletin this morning, you will find the Belgic Confession of Faith, article number 28. And so we have a responsive reading there as well. Let us do so. The article is, "Everyone is bound to join himself to the true church. We believe, since this holy congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, and outside of it there is no salvation, that no person of whatever state or condition he may be ought to withdraw from it, content to be by himself, but that all men are in duty bound to join and unite themselves with it, maintaining the unity of the church, submitting themselves to the doctrine and discipline thereof, bowing their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and as mutual members of the same body, serving to the edification of the brethren, according to the talents God has given them. And that this may be the more effectual, may be more effectually observed, it is the duty of all believers, according to the word of God, to separate themselves from all those who do not belong to the church, and to join themselves to this congregation wheresoever God has established it, even though the magistrates and edicts of princes were against it. Yea, though they should suffer death or any other corporal punishment. Therefore, all those who separate themselves from the same and do not join themselves to it act contrary to the ordinance of God." Again, we must remind ourselves, when this document was written, it was written by those who are facing persecution for the things that they held, what they believed. The other articles that we have been looking at, including this one, are those things that they were facing and would face execution. As a matter of fact, the writer of this document was martyred, was killed by the church, the Roman Catholic Church, and those civil magistrates directed thereby. And so this statement is a statement that wasn't just a theoretical statement, but it actually impacted the lives of those who professed. And they wrote this document and they delivered it. Actually, they threw it over the wall into the city to make sure that the civil magistrate knew this is what we stand for. So notice what it says there. And it says, "This holy congregation is the assembly of those who are saved, and outside of it there is no salvation. And so no person, whatever state or condition he may be, ought to withdraw from it, content to be by himself." And that was the temptation of the time. And it is the temptation today. Well, all churches are evil. All churches have sinners in them. There's hypocrites in the church, and so on and so forth. And so what I need to do is just separate myself from all Christians, and it's just me and Jesus. I had neighbors when I was living back in San Diego that actually professed that. They would go off to the mountains, drive up to the mountains on Sunday morning, and they said, "Well, we worship God. Me and my wife worship God, and then we came back, and so we don't need church." But the writer of Hebrews says, "Forsake not the assembling of the saints." And notice also something that may sound kind of shocking to you is that statement there that says, "Outside of it, there is no salvation." Isn't that a shocking statement in our culture today? You mean you can't be saved outside of the church? Where is that in the Bible? What is this concept? Again, remember, the one that's writing this has left the Roman Catholic Church and saying that, and he'll talk about that. So where in the Bible does it say that? Well, according to Paul in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, the church is the pillar and the bulwark of the church. It is of the truth, sorry, pillar and bulwark of the truth. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:20, he likens the church as the ark that delivered 8 souls from destruction. In other words, it is the church that is authorized by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel, to represent Christ himself. And so it is outside of Jesus Christ that there is no salvation. Would you agree with that? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Contrary to the Pope, who now says people can get saved other ways. No, Jesus says no other way. And Jesus has authorized the church to make that known, to guard the truth, to proclaim the truth. So we see all men are duty-bound to join and unite themselves with the true church, maintaining the unity of the church, submitting themselves to the doctrine and discipline thereof, bowing their necks and under the yoke of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. And as mutual members of the same, serving for the edification of the brethren. And so later on down, it says to separate themselves from all who do not belong to the church. What is meant there, it does not mean that we're to leave the world. Paul writes that, doesn't he? He said, to separate ourselves from unbelievers, well, we'd have to leave the world, or we'd have to become Robinson Crusoe and find an island and be all by ourselves. No. Paul says, no, he's not talking. He's talking about those who have forsaken Christ and claim to be a Christian. He said, those are the ones that we are to separate themselves from. And in, again, the historic context, this would have been the Roman church. And so he warns us, beware of false teachers, according to the statements of Paul in Acts chapter 20. So very strong language, especially for our culture today and the temptation of many to separate themselves from Christ or at least from the church. May God grant unto us ability to rejoice in what we have and to maintain it. Amen? Amen.